Running a call center sales team is definitely filled with challenges, but at the same time, can be very rewarding. There is no manual for how to win the call center sales game, which is why this podcast exists. As your guide, our goal is to help you overcome challenges, discover new tools, innovate where possible, and hear stories from others who have made it to the top of the call center mountain. Welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast with your host, Jason Cutter.
What's going on, everybody? So glad that you're joining us on this Scalable Call Center Sales journey. Super excited to be joined by my special guest, Colin Mitchell from Monster VoIP, along with many other things which we're going to talk about. And if you tuned into my previous podcast or previous LinkedIn lives that I've done, then you know Colin because he and I have chatted many times. We even did a stint there on Clubhouse for a while. Colin is a four-time founder as well as the host of the Sales Hustle podcast, which you definitely need to check out. We'll give you the link at the end. He is passionate about sales, business, podcasting, supporting individuals, supporting companies. He lives in Los Angeles. He has his family there. And we're going to have some fun because we are going to talk about call center industry. We're going to talk about sales and everything around that I know he has some stuff to talk about from Monster VoIP and all of his clients. Colin, welcome to the new Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast.
Yeah, man, Jason, thanks so much for having me. Always glad to hop on and riff on pretty much any topic with you. I know that we're going to have fun and excited to dive into some of these topics and see some of your thoughts on them as well.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. And I know that you have been focusing on many different things, one of which most recently is more podcasting, helping individuals and companies with podcasting and stuff like that. So yep. Anybody who's following a lot of your recent content, they'll find that plus the sales. And I know I'm pulling you kind of away from that for a few moments today, as much as I can. Luckily, as a friend, you're helping me out here so we can talk about call center stuff. Because left on your own devices, things like stir shaking, which we'll talk about, is not sexy and fun versus podcasts, which are sexy and fun. So I appreciate you being here and want to talk about this. So where should we start? There's so many things. Let's look at this part because this is the most valuable that I can think of. We're talking about a call center owner or manager, executive, somebody who's running call center inside telephone sales right now. What are you seeing as some trends, either technology or, like I alluded to, with stir shaken, the legal stuff that's happening from your perspective?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things. So yeah, I help people with podcasting, but I still run a unified communications company and we're more your traditional PBX and we have some light call center features for your smaller call centers. But you know, things are very different than they were a year ago, just from work environment, right? I built my first outbound sales team for my first company and we, had spent $0 on marketing, did no outsourcing, and we, built that company to $5 million in 26 months by just leveraging one tool, which was the phone. And so we actually had a lot of challenges with different technologies, which led us to then basically figure out a way to duct tape a solution together that was our own. And it's definitely come a long way since then. But you know, when you're running a call center or you heavily rely on the phone, there's nothing more frustrating than the technology not working. And then seeing your sales team, putting their hands up in there and just say, the phones are down. And you know, every minute that they're down, you're losing money. Now that the technology has come a long way since then. And, a lot of things that we're seeing, especially with now a lot of folks working from home, right? How do you keep these teams motivated? How do you, keep sort of a good in any call center? Like you kind of feed off the energy, right?
Yeah.
This, how do you replicate that virtually? Some people are starting to get back to the office, but there's also a lot of people that don't want to go back to the office or have relocated or are like, wow, I now don't have a commute and I have an extra, 90 minutes a day that I'm using to, invest in my physical, health or whatever the case is. So how do you, kind of force those types of people to come back to the office? So keeping teams motivated, I think is a big thing for anybody who's got like sort of a, dispersed team now, and there's things like gamification and ways to communicate and having stand-ups and things that people are doing to try to sort of replicate that environment inside a call center. What are folks telling you? I'd love to hear what you're, you know, seeing is working to keep call centers motivated that aren't, you know, able to feed off of that call center energy that they're used to.
It's a tough one because honestly, like that's always been the argument against letting people work from home and being remote is both the energy and then the sharing of knowledge, even if it's just over the cubicle wall while you're eavesdropping, listening to someone, they say something really effective over the phone. You're like, ooh, that'd be really good. Let me try that. That was a good rebuttal response. Yeah. Like just, you know, that was a good opening line.
Now that could be a good thing or a bad thing.
Correct. And it's funny because on a side note, I remember one time I was running a call center and I was remote. So there was four offices. So I wasn't in the office in question. And literally I heard somebody who was brand new on a recording and I heard the stuff they were saying. And I literally called the manager and I was like, are they sitting next to so-and-so? And they're like, yeah, we just moved him right there after training. I'm like, okay. Cause they were saying the same not good stuff that the other person was also saying. So yeah,
I had that work. I had happened to me firsthand when I first started in my first outbound, sales job where, you know, somebody who was always on the leaderboard was saying some particular things. And I was like, you know, hey, I'm going to try to start saying those things because it must be working. And I started saying those and I started just using it on every pitch. I mean, it was part of my script and, older gentleman came over and he's like, you shouldn't be saying that. And I said, why not? Like it's working, you know, for this guy over here. Why can't I use it? And he said, cause it's not true. He's lying.
I'm laughing cause it's terrible, but I'm just laughing cause I could just picture poor young Colin, being like, oh. It was working.
Yeah. And you know, when you're early on in sales, like your moral compass is not maybe as strong as you'd like to be. You just, you're like, I'm just willing to say anything to like, you know, get a damn sale.
Just try it. Well, and you're also just trusting other people who know what they're doing, that it's the right thing to do. So you just follow them. Right. So back to the question though, when people are remote, I think the gamification is huge. 30-day challenges, another type of gamification. I've started using that with some companies and clients where we're running a 30-day every day type of activity challenge. And it just keeps everyone bonded and together. I think, you know, I've seen some interesting applications of Zoom where you've got a sales team remote on the phone, which is in a different platform, but then everyone's also on Zoom, cameras off, video off, but they're using it as a chat and like the manager's in there. It's kind of this hub for where everyone's kind of engaged. So some interesting stuff. I think the biggest challenge, and I'm curious what, I'm going to put you on the spot because we didn't plan for this, is what about the hybrid though, where you're like, okay, 30 of my people don't want to come in, and 20 of them are going to come in, or it rotates every other day, or some people are, like you said, relocated. Now they live in another state and you'll never see them again. How do you manage that hybrid? It's easier when it's one or the other. When it's mixed, then it's messy, right? Because there's so many challenges. What do you think?
Yeah. I think that you got to treat, I mean, it's just like any good manager, right? Or, you know, I don't even like to say manager, a good leader, right? Because I think there's a key difference between a manager and a leader. A good leader of a call center, you know, knows that they can't treat everybody the same, right? Not everybody learns the same. You can't coach everybody the same. And, you know, there's people have different reasons why and different things that make them tick and different goals, right? So you have some baseline fundamentals of like, here's where we're trying to go and here's the process of how we get there. But as far as like motivating people, there really is no one right answer. It's really, you know, depends on the individual. And so the people that are in the office, that's going to look a little bit different than the people that are not in the office, right? I mean, ultimately, it really comes down to good hiring, right? And so you got to trust that your people are going to, you know, you got to give them the proper tools, but you got to trust that they're going to, you know, do the job right and get it done.
What do you think about developing those leaders? Because this is something you and I have talked about several times, and it's good to mention here again, as we're talking about call center leadership, is getting the right people, or how would you build that farm league or move people into or recruit for leadership positions versus the classic model, right? Which is, hey, you're good in sales. You're now in charge. Good luck with that. You better win or else, right? What do you think it takes to be
successful? I mean, I would just hire somebody like you and not have to figure it out.
True. You can. That's and it's interesting because I have some clients like that that do that, or they hire me to fill in that gap. So now I'm the fractional director of sales and they don't even have to deal with it internally and they just make me do everything. So there is that.
Yeah, I think hiring your leader outside of the organization is a smart idea because they're going to be more, you know, it's just when you hire somebody up and promote them, you know, it's a little bit more of a challenge when that person was a peer and then now they're a leader. That creates some problems. And like, just because they're great, just because they're a call center, you know, just because they're on the leaderboard doesn't mean they're a great leader of leading a team.
Yeah. And what you said is interesting because it's very subtle. And a lot of times that challenge might not present itself as clear, but that the fact that you promote somebody, everyone was their peer and now they're in charge. And now that like everyone is supposed to respect them and listen to them. If they were respectable beforehand, that's one thing where everyone kind of went to that person, saw them as a leader. It was kind of like the team captain where it's like, hey, we've all elected you as the team captain anyway.
Yeah.
Then they get promoted and it's like, okay, cool. Cause we all liked you and we listened to you anyway and respected you and trusted you versus, hey, you're good at it, but I don't really like you. And now you're in charge and I'm not listening to you. I remember when you were sitting next to me and what you used to say. So I'm definitely not going to listen to you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a case by case. There's no like right answer 100% of the time for every, you know, call center out there. It's going to be unique to, you know, what their situation is. But I would say a majority of time promoting, you know, great sales producer to sales leader is not the right answer. And I think frankly, a lot of people turn to that because it's the easier path. They know what they know. They're comfortable with that. Maybe even get them at a bit of a discount. But you know, I think seeking outside for leadership or even, you know, getting somebody to consult on that or getting a fractional person, if you're like a call center, that's just not quite there to get a full-time person is a really smart move.
Yeah. I really want to know, do you have any stories that you've seen internally or externally of promoting someone, like even before maybe you realized it, where you did it and it just bombed?
I'll give you my own experience. You know, I took my first sales job and worked my way up to the top and thought I wanted to be a manager and got pissed off because they didn't give me the manager position that I was promised and left and took a VP of sales position, building another outbound sales team. And frankly, I wasn't ready. I was great at sales, but I was not great at managing people. And it threw all kinds of curveballs at me that I was not prepared for and did not enjoy.
Wow. Interesting. I think that's fascinating. And I think that highlights what happens to all of us, right? It's like there's that leap to that next level and you think you want it because you're good at this and you just don't know what you don't know. And you're like, oh, of course, right? I can do that. And it's like people who start their own business, like, oh, right? I'm a good technician. I can build websites. I should start my own web agency. It's like, yeah, there's a bit more to the business than just building websites, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so the thing is the reason that most great sales, you know, top producers don't make great sales leaders is because they have their way that works for them. And they're really set in their ways of their way of doing things. And now there's some basic fundamentals and things that, you know, within your sales process that you need to do, but there's more than one way to get there. And a lot of great, you know, top producers that get, you know, promoted to, you know, call center manager or whatever to lead the team, typically are very, you know, one track. They have a one track mind of their way of doing things. And that might not be the best way suited for everybody on the team.
Makes sense. So let's transition a little bit because let's talk about the technology piece, which obviously you have a bunch of experience with, yeah. You know, with Monster VoIP, which is, you know, technology for call centers on the telephony side and other things.
Yeah. So surprisingly,
go ahead.
Yeah. Yes. So surprisingly, there's still a lot of people that are not, you know, fully cloud, right? So there's a lot of people that are just now transitioning to the cloud or have taken this work from home, you know, scenario to really figure out like, oh, we've now been forced into the cloud. You know, I don't know why so many kind of still in 2020, 2021, been reluctant to just go full cloud versus like an on-premise solution.
I have a company I know of that basically they have like VoIP phones, but they're desk phones. And when things happen, they actually sent everyone home and made them plug in their desk VoIP phones, which is like that hybrid thing. But it's just so weird to think like, why not just, you know, fully cloud, fully remote, fully.
Yeah, easy. I don't know. And we're seeing more people too, also, you know, getting rid of the clutter on their desk, especially working from home, maybe on a smaller desk of no desk phone, right? Fully software-based solutions. And so, you know, just kind of from the work that I do, I would say probably, you know, and not everybody that we do business with is a call center. We, you know, cater all kinds of different businesses, but I would say probably it's about 60 to 70% are going fully software based, you know, no hardware.
Wow. And that's when, with what you're seeing with people who are signing up with you from a full hardware or just in general,
So typically, it's kind of a big jump to go from, say, you're having like an on-premise sort of, you know, contact center solution to going to a cloud solution and getting rid of your desk phone. That sometimes is the adoption rate for that is a little bit of a big leap. Sometimes if they're going from an on-premise solution to now a cloud solution, which is, you know, something we offer and many others, they still want to have a desk phone, right? So it's still a phone that's, you know, connected through the internet, but they still want their hardware, you know? But if it's somebody who's typically already adopted the cloud, they're much more open to going full software based where, you know, their chat, their SMS, their phone, you know, their call queuing, their, you know, reporting, their dashboards, everything is, you know, just a piece of software that's sitting on their Mac or PC.
And I agree. I mean, that's all great, especially when you have that omni-channel with the chat, with the SMS, all in one platform for the agent to manage the reporting and all that stuff. But I'll tell you, every once in a while, I see a desk phone and or like use one. Like I think of, you know, usually you see it like when you're in a hotel and pick up that phone and make calls. It's like something so, I don't know, satisfying and like, okay, here's what I do. I got to make some calls. Like no distractions. I'm just going to dial. No,
I don't get that same love for a desk phone like you. I love a software-based solution, especially when you're, you know, really leveraging a solution that that has all the bells and whistles. You know, like simple things that surprisingly some people still don't have, like click to call.
Yeah,
click on a number and call. You know, not manually dialing and oops, dialed the wrong number because I fat fingered it or whatever. Or even things just like, you know, you have your software on your phone and, you know, somebody actually, you know, calls you back, or if you're inbound, like rather than asking them a million questions and wasting that first, you know, 10, 15 seconds of your interaction with them trying to figure out who they are, you know, the system actually serving you their record within the CRM when they call, you know, so things like that can just really deliver a better customer experience. You can be more efficient. Then we have a lot of these other, you know, solutions that are, you know, tying into the phone solution, these predictive dialers and these power dialers and these parallel assisted dialers. Now, a lot of those are going to have, you know, kind of with some of the laws that are changing and things like that, some of those are going to go away, are going to have to change the way that they're doing things because, you know, the FCC is really starting to crack down on a lot of that stuff where they want a human actually, you know, connected to that call, you know, so some of this call blasting, you know, where you're dialing, yeah, you know, 10 people simultaneously to serve you somebody who calls. A lot of that stuff is going to go away, or you know, it's probably still going to be around, but it's going to be harder for them to pull some of those things off, especially the fly by night solutions that are spoofing numbers and switching numbers every, you know, every other day and things like that with stir shaking and these, you know, protocols that are coming in place, you know, to tie better relationships between the originator and the interconnects, you know, to stop a lot of this robocalling and spoofing and things like that, that's just really pissing people off. There's a hard deadline on that, you know, June 30th, you know, if you're in the telecom space, you better have, you know, your T's crossed and your I's dotted, or you might, you know, wake up surprised on July 1st with no, you know, no capability to do anything.
Hey, it's Jason here. We'll be right back to the podcast in a moment. But first, are you ready to help your inside sales team close more deals? In my experience, there's a certain percentage of your team that acts more like order takers than sales professionals.
The first step to creating a scalable sales team is to equip your reps with the right mindset and proven strategies to transform them into quota breakers. To build a team of authentic persuaders that will crush their goals, email Jason at cutterconsultinggroup.com or go to www.cutterconsultinggroup.com.
Yeah, no traffic. Now, obviously, we're recording this. It's going to come out live with the podcast. And I know this is going to be a topic definitely in the short term on many episodes. So, but for people listening who might not know, and I'm just learning about it on my side, you know, because my clients, usually they're involved with that or they're using other parties for that compliance side. Explain a little bit of Stir Shaken and what that is at the high level from a, let's say, a strategy or affecting call center phone call standpoint.
Yeah. So the FCC is really trying to stop a lot of these robocalls, right? So, and you'll see a big ramp up of them right now. Like, I don't know if you've maybe just experienced it even on your personal cell phone, right? I'm getting a ton of them. Like, I would say I'm getting 5x more than I was, you know, previously. And, you know, a lot of times it's a recorded voice, you know, hey, we're calling from the Social Security Department and we have a warrant out for your arrest. Like this type of stuff, right? And these calls are typically coming from other countries. They're typically spoofing numbers. So if you call that number back, it's going to go nowhere, or it might go somewhere who never even called you in the first place. Another thing that's happening is they're also spoofing the caller ID, right? So it's actually saying Social Security Administration when the call comes through. Now, the Social Security Administration would never call you to handle any matter. They would send you a letter in the mail, right? But unfortunately, there's still a lot of people that are falling for these tricks, and or else they wouldn't continue doing it, right? So they're really trying to crack down on that stuff. And, you know, there's always been this, you know, the DNC list, right? But it's been really hard to monitor that. A lot of people don't follow that the way that they're supposed to. And unless you really, really, really abuse it and you're doing super high volumes, which the fines are pretty significant, you know, if you're not following that. But this is going to stop a lot of this stuff that has been, you know, very difficult to monitor and to track. So Stir Shaken, it's a framework of the interconnected standards. So as of in April 2021, the FCC required that providers certify in the robocall mitigation database. So they've got to sign up and basically comply with those standards, and then have it fully implemented by June 30th. Okay, so this means that calls that are traveling through interconnected phone networks would have to have their caller ID signed as a legitimate by the originating carrier, or else the call is not going to go through.
Yeah, which is pretty wild. So what that means is that if it's not signed, and I think there's three buckets, there's like A level, B level, and C level. So depending on what it is, like when it's signed and certified as your phone number, then it will go through the carrier and it will make it to the end result. If it's like a B, then there's like a C. And then basically what happens is there's a chance that if you're running outbound calls, if you're doing anything like that, if what you're doing isn't set up in the system properly, or the end carrier or any of the carriers decide to not certify you or push it through, you will be making calls that will go nowhere and you won't know it.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how many people don't do what they're supposed to by the timeline. I mean, this is something that they've been working on for, I think, about 2+ years, right? And now there's a hard date set here in order to make sure that you're complying and you're not doing any funny business, which, you know, nobody likes getting these calls, and there's a more than a few, but there's people that have, you know, really kind of ruined this by abusing it. And so now, you know, there's probably going to be some people that are actually, you know, using the phones properly, but maybe just didn't get their ducks in order that could suffer because of this. But, you know, there's still time now, and hopefully whatever carriers you work with, you know, have the proper things set up, which they all should. And so it's a big thing. And I think it's top of mind for a lot of people in telecom, in call centers right now.
Yeah. And if you're, let's say, just say it, one of the good players in the space, and you're doing things legit with opt-in data and TCPA compliant contacts and permission, and you're doing that, it is kind of scary, because it's possible if anything in that process doesn't happen like it's supposed to, you could be basically dead in the water, right? Obviously, it's a good thing to get rid of the bad players who have ruined it for everyone else. But the scary part is if, you know, what's going to do if people aren't prepared.
Yeah. And it's also going to, it's also going to help solve another problem that some people have too, is, you know, a lot of times when these people are making these types of calls, you know, they're just picking a random number a lot of times, and they're just outposting that number. And people get calls back, pissed off, you know, upset that, you know, somebody was, I don't know, calling, telling them that there was a warrant out for their arrest from the Social Security Administration office. Right. And there's really been nothing to solve that. These people have to deal with those calls. This is a number that they've had for, you know, their entire life of their business. They've really just had to deal with those calls, and there's been nothing in place to not allow people to spoof numbers.
Yeah, that's pretty wild. Is there any other, from your experience, either from the telecom side or just in general, because you work with a lot of sales people, sales teams, organizations, any other technology that you're seeing, any other interesting things that are, you know, providing tools for, you know, telesales type call centers?
Yeah, I mean, I think a big thing is, okay, number one, cloud. People are moving to the cloud. You know, people are getting away from hardware, going, you know, strictly software-based solutions. I mean, there's all of these, you know, programmable voice options now where you can just totally custom build anything that you possibly want. And now it's not, you know, it's going to be expensive to build a solution, but anything that you could possibly imagine, you can build, you know, and now they're using, you know, AI for voice and options, and a lot of things can be accomplished, you know, before even talking to a human, where once they talk to a human, you can, the human can be in a much, much more informed place, or, you know, things that, you know, can be accomplished without a human, like, you know, checking their account status or checking, paying a bill, or, you know, speaking options rather than, you know, hitting them into, you know, your numeric, you know, keypad, tons of things, on that front. Also, I would say the big one is more people using more of an omni-channel approach, right? So having a solution that supports not just phone calls, but email, chat, SMS, you know, even WhatsApp, Facebook Messenger, depending on, you know, if you're in B2C, you know, those are channels that, you know, a lot of your customers are comfortable communicating on. So starting to see a lot of, you know, contact centers really adopt, you know, more than one channel with their approach, whether it's inbound or outbound.
I love it. So you've been around the call center space for a long time. You have been in there, plus you have the Monster VoIP. And then also you're doing a lot of stuff on the sales side, kind of playing many different games with the things that you've found and started, especially with your podcast, right? So you're talking to a lot of sales, awesome salespeople on your podcast. If you were running a call center now, right? Think back to when you were running one, but now you know what you know from a sales perspective. Is there anything that jumps to mind that you would tell like your new salespeople or salespeople on the floor?
Yeah. What would it first be? Thing I tell them to do, pick up a copy of Authentic Persuasion.
See, now you make it sound like we set that up, but I appreciate that.
No, I honestly recommend that book all the time. I go on podcasts all the time. It's on my recommended reading list, along with a few others like so your book, Larry Levine, Selling from the Heart.
Probably Bob Burr's Go Givers in there, I'm sure.
There's one that's just slipping my mind right now. Combo Prospecting from Tony Hughes. I mean, that book is like every page is packed with that. You got to read it like 10 times to absorb everything. That's an honest answer is get the reading material, you know, follow these people and consume their content. Like anybody who's in sales, whether they're an individual contributor, or a sales leader, you know, running a contact center, like there is so many people out there putting out so much free stuff for you to consume, to be a better leader, to be a better individual contributor, you know, to, you know, kind of adopt to this, you know, new way of selling where it's more serving and empathy and not just your, you know, all about your commission check, you know? So that's a big thing is following the right people, consuming their content, reading those books. And then the number one thing, like if I had one tip for anybody is like, out of anything or everything that you do in sales, like the number one thing that I is just mandatory is review your calls again. And you should.
I hate hearing my own voice, Colin.
Get over it. Then get out of sales. Maybe you're an order taker, which is fine. which is fine. You know, I heard they're hiring customer service, you know, maybe go over there.
That's it.
No problem.
Well, and I love that. I mean, that's so valuable to review it. If you want to play a better and better game, if you want to work towards and or become a professional at anything, you have to analyze what you did and then figure out how to get better.
And look, I get it. It takes time. It's consumed. Like it takes a lot of time to review your calls. It does. If you're, you know, it doesn't matter what size contact center you are. I would hope at the very least that you're recording the calls, obviously, you know, with two-party consent in the states that require it. and so if you're recording them, like second part of that is, what are you doing with them? Are you reviewing them? You know, send me your five best calls and your five worst calls every day if you're new. You know, your five best calls, five worst calls. Let's dissect them, go back. What could we have done different? You know, but also give the person on the phone the autonomy to, you know, come up with some of their own answers or how they would handle it. Don't just force, you know, don't just feed them the answers on a spoon. Like you got to, you know, allow them to build that muscle of thinking on their feet to be creative in those situations the next time they come up. Right.
Yeah. I think that's great. Go ahead.
Yeah. And so then that's one part. Now, let's say you have maybe, a little bit better of a technology that you're using for your contact center that, yeah, it records the calls. Great. Now, does it transcribe the calls? Right. Because that makes it a little bit easier. We can transcribe the calls, right? And we can look for keywords and things like that, right? And we can put them into, you know, a nice report and review them and things like that. But there's also tools out there that can make this a lot easier. And there's tons of them popping up. You know, Chorus and Gong were kind of like the first ones. But now there's tons of competitors to Chorus and Gong that are less expensive, that pretty much do the same thing for the most part. They kind of just were first to market and have the biggest brand recognition, you know, decent products. I've seen both of them, but there's also some other ones, you know, coming up that I would say are equally as good and a little bit less expensive. So, you know, find a tool that's, and these tools are using AI to, you know, look for certain tones and keywords and are you using empathy and things like that? And it's tagging and marking them and making it easier. So you can just go about your day, make your calls. And then it's really nicely got you all of the stuff that you need to review.
Yeah. And the one thing to add to that, going backwards from the AI driven stuff that just kind of serves it up on a platter to the manual listening to those recorded calls. If you have them, amazingly, shocking to me how many call centers just don't have it. They have telephone sales teams and they're not recording those calls. But the key is that a lot of management.
Did you say they're not recording the calls?
Not recording the calls. They just don't. Like, you know, and you know why?
That makes my stomach turn.
I know. It's one of two things in my experience, right? And if that's you and you're listening to see if either one of these resonates. The first one is like they just don't want to deal with the technology. They're thinking it's a big deal. The storage, the management of it, like blah, 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 like everything on the technology side. And then there's the other part, which is what I generally see, which is they know they don't have the time, energy, or bandwidth or care to put into the review of those recordings. So it doesn't make
any sense. There's a third part too. There's a third part too. There's some people that just, for whatever reason, recording calls just doesn't feel right to them.
Okay.
It's sort of like it's like a moral thing. Like, oh, that's, you know, we shouldn't be doing that. I don't know. Then maybe you shouldn't be running a contact center, but
for sure.
But it, you know, if it's like, it's the equivalent of somebody, a football team going to the Super Bowl, losing, and then never watching the game tape again.
Yep. Never.
If you're not recording the calls,
that the next time they show up, they will play better.
Yeah. I'll give you a little hint. There's a really good chance you don't show up to the Super Bowl again if you don't review that tape.
Yeah. And you probably wouldn't have made it in the first place, because the only way you're going to get there ahead of everyone else is by optimizing every single.
Yeah. And it's small things. It's little small things. Like, maybe I could have said that. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. Maybe I could have used this tone there. It's those small adjustments, and hearing it and talking through it is the only way to improve and make those adjustments.
Yeah. And that's the interesting thing. I love that you mentioned is that it's not always the big things. It's not always I really screwed that up, but I've listened to enough recordings with enough reps. And I'm like, okay, let's listen to this. They're like, I don't know why they didn't want to buy. I'm listening to this. And you can hear the slightest pause or issue from the prospective buyer, or you hear like the wrong word or wrong sentence that just triggered the other person by the salesperson. And that was it. You just hear it and go, that was it. It was an hour long call, but there it was right there. That's all it took.
You could even hear when the prospects checked out.
Done.
You can hear when the prospects, like, they're there, they're on the call. They're not listening to anything you're saying. They're right. I mean, that's a big one. Or also another interesting one that you find in these call recordings is things you missed. You know, you were so, you know, on the phone, you know, it's, you gotta be on, you know, you gotta be listening intently to everything they're saying, to then quickly deciding what you're going to say next or where you're going to take the conversation, right? To get to whatever the end goal is. And sometimes it's very easy to get caught up in your head of what you think you're going to maybe say next, or where you maybe want to take this, or they said something that you don't want to forget, right? And then they say something that's huge that could totally change the whole direction of the call, and you just missed it.
Yeah, that happens a ton. So let's shift here for our last bit of time here together. One of the things you had mentioned to me that, you know, you're seeing a shift or to chat about is companies finally starting to focus more on quality instead of quantity. You're talking about leads, you're talking about technology, you're talking about people, all of it. What are you seeing?
Mainly, you know, for the longest time, everybody has says the phone game's a numbers game, right? And I still believe that's partially true. You know, I don't totally disagree with that. But a lot more people are starting to focus more on quality over quantity. Like, I don't need to make 150 calls to have 10 good conversations. Maybe I need to target a little bit different. Maybe we need to market a little bit different. Maybe I need to get really super clear on who our ideal customer is and go deeper on that and focus more attention on those types of people. And people are even starting to go into psychographics and demographics and all kinds of things to identify who their customer profile is. And this is a new thing to me that I just learned. I had Stephen Schmidt on Sales Hustle just a few episodes ago, and there's technology out there now to really take, you know, really go deep on building your customer profile, right? So people can get a good idea of like, hey, here's the types of people that actually buy from me. And what's interesting about it is it's not your typical like, oh, they are in this industry, they make this amount of money, and they live in this particular area. Like, those are kind of surface level basic stuff, right? That you could, you know, build fairly easily. But it's more like their interests and what type of people they are, right? So what those psychographics for are going to look very different for each caller. And because it's more, you know, who you're going to jive with, you know, here's the type of people that want to do business with Jason. And those people are probably people that have very similar interests to Jason.
And down to really small levels that now there's the access to with AI and data and social info and all of these various things that can be harnessed and kind of grouped together to find where those common points will be. Because I love what you said. I've never been a fan of the quantity dialing game, right? Like, oh, you want to make more sales, just call, you know, 500 people a day, just keep dialing and going that route. Cause you're going to burn out either the consumers or the salesperson, because you're still losing at a high rate. It's just hard. That's a hard game to play.
Yeah. And so there's people that are just still going to be phone warriors. Like, that's just, and the phone is a powerful tool, because there's people that are on the other side of the spectrum of this, where it's like, I only do social, right? Social selling, you know, and nothing against social selling, but you need to be using all of the tools, right? I'm a believer of using multiple channels, social, email, phone, and layering them in together to complement each other, rather than being all in or one or only using two out of three.
Yeah, I think that's great. Well, I appreciate you coming on here. Now, I think this might be the third podcast I've had, if we don't even include the lives and the Clubhouse that you've been on. So let's not talk about Clubhouse. You're the most chatted guest.
We're recovering Clubhouse moderators.
Yeah. That was a fun little experiment instant. But I appreciate you once again, you know, answering the call to come on here and chat about anything sales business related. I appreciate it very much.
I know you As wanted always. To mainly talk about contact center, but we snuck some sales conversation.
I think it's good. Well, and I think that's important, right? Because that's running a contact center that's focused on sales, which is what this podcast is about, involves that sales side. So I knew it was going to happen. I knew I could only control you to talk about podcast or call center stuff so much. And so before we go, I know the main thing for you right now is the podcast. That's a great avenue for people to find out and pick up so much content and just, you know, pick up all the stuff that you're doing, which I love. It's just such a great vehicle, right? Because it's not salesy. Just podcasts are just there. It's so good. So tell people where they can find the podcast, what it's about,
you know, what's the best way to do it. So if you, you know, run a contact center or have a sales team, you can check us out on any podcast platform that you could possibly think of. Some that I don't even know, never even knew existed. We're on there. Sales Hustle. My buddy Jason here will drop the link in the show notes so you can easily find it. We're at like 105 episodes and it's a ton of fun. We drop 3 episodes a week. Spoiler alert, we're talking about bumping that up to 5 or 7 days a week. Maybe seven. We'll see. But it's, you know, 20, 30 minutes, super tactical to just level up in sales. Whether you're an individual contributor, whether you're a sales leader, we keep it super tactical. And yeah, check us out. And we're on all the podcast platforms.
I love it. And again, the show is this Sales Hustle. If anybody's listening to this, they want to go there to check it out online. You can go to pod.link/saleshustle, or like Colin said, just go to any platform and put in Sales Hustle. It's there. So that's awesome. Yeah. Once again, Colin, thanks for joining me here on the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast. Once again, I appreciate you and everything you're doing to help the world from the perspective of selling and sales.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate it.
Did you get some inspirations of ways to help your call center sales team win bigger, stronger, and faster? Hope you are fired up to scale your sales operations. If you got value from this podcast, please go in and leave a rating and review. Also, make sure to forward this episode to anyone else you know in the call center space. We appreciate your support in growing the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast family. And if you have any comments, ideas, or feedback, contact us at cutterconsultinggroup.com.